Welcome to Becoming Parents Podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer Campbell. I'm a doula in Washoe County, Nevada, a Medicaid provider, a lactation educator, childbirth educator, and mom of 18. You can find me and connect on doulainreno.com. Remember, give a shout out to those who are brave enough to share their stories with us on how they have become parents. Let's dive in. Welcome to Becoming Parents Podcast. I'm the host, Jennifer Campbell. I'm super excited today to have Maren Green on. How are you, Maren?
I am doing so well, Jennifer. Thanks for having me.
I'm excited. And I told you, because I'm a birth worker and you're in that same realm, I actually know quite a bit about you. I've followed Indy for years and I'm really excited about this interview. I'd love you to start out by telling me about your parenting journey.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, my parenting journey is almost 22 years old at this point. That's my oldest. And gosh, there's so much to say. I have 10 children, for those that don't know. I have actually birthed 10 children. People always ask, what do you mean 10? Did you adopt some? Where did they all come from? They came from me and my husband. So we started, 22 years ago, and actually we were living in New York City at the time, and 9/11 had happened a couple of months before I got pregnant with her. So that was a huge initiation. I mean, it was for all of us if we were alive during that time, but, you know, being in the actual, vicinity of that was really life-changing. And it was a conscious thought for sure to conceive a baby. And it directly came out of that. It directly came out of like, wow, what are we doing with our lives? And what is life? And why are we here? And I actually worked at a church preschool at the time. And so I was around children. And anyway, all of these forces conspired to begin our parenting journey. And it's been really beautiful since. You know, we didn't plan on having 10 kids. It's not something I set out to do. In fact, before my first daughter was conceived, I didn't know that I even wanted kids, which is so funny to me now. So each 10 of them really kind of invited themselves in, and we accepted, and it just kept getting better and better. You know, a couple times we were like, okay, this is it. This is probably the last one. And then another one would appear. So parenting them has been easily the greatest gift of my life. They are the best teachers. And right now, you know, we have an almost 22-year-old. Every 2 years, then down to the youngest is 3. And so we're in a lot of different stages of life parenting with them right now. We've got the adults and we've got still the young ones and the baby who, you know, had a tantrum this morning. So we're still really in it.
Yeah, that's really in it. And I think it's great. We have 18 kids, but 10 of them came from social services and adoption. So people, I mean, the reaction when you have more, basically, if you have more than two, yes, the more you have, the bigger the reaction. But I was only pregnant 7 times. So,
well,
I mean,
that's
like
still a lot. Good for you.
I can't imagine 10 deliveries, you know, and I'm up there in number with you. So I think that's fantastic. Tell me what it was like. What was your first labor delivery like, and how did that change things?
Oh, it was such a ride, and it definitely changed my life. I knew I wanted a quote natural birth, and I think that's alone a really interesting topic, like what that means. To me at the time, it really just meant I knew I didn't want medications in labor. I wanted to be able to like feel my body. And my mom had really inspired me with that. She did have 2 hospital births, my sister and I, but she always told me she never had pain meds and like that I could do it. So that's as far as I really went with this birth. I was young. We had just relocated to Arizona from New York City. And I signed up with my mom's OB, like literally was her doctor, this old school guy, which actually I ended up being really grateful for. So I did my best. I took Bradley classes and I was, you know, more educated than some. And I knew what I wanted for the most part, but I was still in this box. I was in the medicalized birth box. That's what I had chosen. And that's really how it wound up. It was an induction. So my waters opened a little bit early. It was like 37 and a half weeks. And it just became like a really boringly typical hospital story. Induction. I did have a vaginal birth, which I was so grateful for. And that was that. It wasn't horrible, but it left me desiring a whole lot, especially around how my baby was treated. I remember thinking afterwards, like, I'm an adult, like I could put up with anything, you know, I mean, I can fend for myself, but they took my baby away right when she was born. And she spent the first couple hours in the NICU, which have totally shaped my life, and have shaped hers. And, you know, I'm so grateful to her for coming in the way she did. She was a very determined little baby. I'm so grateful because not only was it a really informative experience, but it paved the way for me to have home births with the rest of them, to become a midwife, really. And I'm so grateful I got to experience what a lot of women do. I mean, that's just a pretty normal birth in this country. So, you know, now years later, people think, oh, you know, you've only had home births, you don't know what it's like. No, I really do. I know what Pitocin feels like. I know what, you know, being pressured feels like. I know what it's like when they take your baby away. And that was traumatic in a lot of ways. But again, I think working through it and making different choices that's felt really good over the years and has definitely influenced my parenting. You know, I think the way we birth definitely influences how we bond with that child and, you know, how we begin motherhood with them.
I agree. And I'm grateful. My first experience was a birth center transport and my daughter was in the NICU. And I had an overwhelmingly positive hospital experience, but knew I wanted it different. I think a lot of us get into birth work and get into like, how do we want to change the story for ourselves? And then can we change that story for other women because of those first experiences? But I'm very grateful I had it because, like you said, you know what that stuff feels like. Mm-hmm. You've been in that situation. And I ask that, I'm glad it wasn't horrible and traumatic. I don't want anyone to experience that, but you've been a change maker in the birth work community, which I personally am very grateful for. You're also in Arizona, which I've always, in my mind, that's always been a less open state. And correct me if I'm wrong, because you've lived other places.
Yeah,
too.
I'm not in Arizona right now, right. But I did live there for 15 years and work as a midwife there.
And I feel like it's not as open to home births and birth work. And did that influence moving forward also in how you moved forward with indie birth? I'm jumping ahead a little
bit. Yeah. No, that's okay. It's great. Definitely. There's a long story. So for people that are wanting to read that, I do have a book. It's called Indie Birth, A Story of Radical Birth Love. It's on Amazon. Margo and I wrote it together. And it includes the long version of this story, which is I did work in Arizona as a licensed midwife. I worked really hard to get a license to practice midwifery there. And after about 2 years, it became clear to me that wasn't really where I belonged. So I had a client that had a cesarean for her first birth. So here we were with her second, she was planning a home birth. And at the time that was against the rules in Arizona licensing. So there was no bad outcome. I mean, the woman and I were really close friends. It was really a doctor at a local hospital that kind of freaked out. And I ended up kind of fighting, and I have that in quotes too, fighting for my license for the next 2 years, at the end of which I realized I didn't want it anyway. I didn't really want. Yeah, it was really, really brilliant how the universe did that. And actually, years before, when I was trying to get the license, there were many signs along the way that perhaps this wasn't the perfect path for me. So I learned some really good lessons there. And ultimately, as a mother, I learned that I personally will never want restrictions around my birth or who I can have there or any of that. Birth, you know, is a human rights issue to me. So once I really saw the writing on the wall, that that's what licensing does to midwifery, that's what it does to women's choices, I didn't want it anyway. However, I remained in Arizona for 10 more years, and I practiced openly without a license in a state where license is mandatory. So, you know, go figure that one. And I had a great practice. I worked in Sedona and Northern Arizona. Okay. And yeah, I miss it in a lot of ways, for sure.
Take me through, you had this hospital experience, you knew you wanted it different. Hospital to home birth can feel like a big jump for a lot of women. I did the same thing. I went from hospital and had the rest at home. I knew I, but I was starting off thinking I wanted a birth center birth, but for lots of women, that jump is massive, you know? And I always feel like you think hospitals over here and homes here, and there's a lot more overlap than I think a lot of women realize. And also just the autonomy you have away from medical professionals. So what was your second, because this was early on for you, you're still young, you know, what was your second pregnancy and decision-making like about that? At some point, I know you made the shift to become a midwife, to start indie birth, you
yeah,
know.
That all happened after that, yeah.
Right, but let's go back now to that process in you.
I love women that come to me as a midwife now and have had a similar experience. So they've had their first and it's a hospital birth, and then they come and they're curious about home birth. They're some of my favorite people because, yeah, I lived that. And I was so lucky to run into a midwife that was willing to take me on at the end of my pregnancy. So my second pregnancy began a lot like the first. I think I hadn't really faced some of the deeper traumas and issues there. You know, like I told you, I said it wasn't that bad.
Right.
And a lot of women do that, right? They're like, I got out alive, I guess I'll go back. So I did make some changes. We had moved. I lived in Chicago at the time, and I was seeing nurse midwives. So I had made that shift. But towards the end of the pregnancy, the same old like rigmarole came in, and there began to be a lot of questions for me around the birth because I was wiser this time. I had done it. So long story short, I did have a doula, and I'll never forget the day that the doula came to the house probably 4 weeks before I was due to have my son. And we were going over the birth plan. And in hindsight, like, she was so gentle and loving because my birth plan was really intense. Like, it was really long. It was really detailed because I knew what I didn't want.
Yeah.
And she sat there and she gently just said, kind of like, look, if this is how you feel, would you consider having a home birth? Because, you know, this is maybe not the place for you. And I don't remember her exact words, but I sat there and I just cried because I felt it. I was like, oh man, like here I am, I'm close. And like, yeah, I don't want to fight again. I don't want to fight for my rights. I don't want to fight for my baby. So God bless this woman. She put me in touch with a couple of midwives. And at the time in Chicago, pretty much all of the home birth midwives were underground. You couldn't get anybody's number unless you knew somebody. And so I was connected with my midwife and I just fell in love with her. And I remember her just talking to me on the phone and saying, really? Like, you had a, you know, you had an induction the first time. She was like, you're going to be fine. She's like, you're going to do great. And this was before we had even met in person. So the shift in energy was so needed for me, like to have someone that believed in me. And I was like immediately obsessed. Like everything she told me or shared with me, I was like amazed, like that she knew things and like that she could, you know, feel the baby from the outside with her hands and listen with a fetoscope. So simultaneously, I was like so excited about the birth. And I also was just like sort of unknowingly getting indoctrinated into home birth midwifery. And it was a great birth. It was a little on the dramatic side. The midwife had been running around. She was really busy. She had been at another birth. And she really didn't show up until sort of the last minute. And it was beautiful. You know, it was intense. My son was born like with a hand next to his face and cord wrapped around. So, you know, it wasn't like this beautiful, seamless birth. But honestly, I had never seen any birth videos at that point. I mean, it was a really long time ago, too. He's almost 20. Like, people weren't really watching videos the same way. So to me, it was perfect. And, you know, afterwards, I was completely hooked. I was like, every woman should have the opportunity to do this if she wants to.
I so agree. I remember I just knew I wanted to have home births, and we lived in Alaska at that point. So my second delivery, I had a midwifery practice, you know, and I was the same way. Just, wow, it's so different. I still think, and this was, she was born 28 years ago, and I still go to the hospital and they're like, well, we got to get the ultrasound in to, you know, check the position of the baby. And I'm like, how dumb. Like, were you not trained in how this works? And after I had my daughter, the midwife looked at me and said, are you okay? And I said, yeah, I'm okay. I was sitting on a birth seat. And she said, I need you to go inside and turn off the bleeding. And I just went, oh, okay. And then I was like, okay, that's done. And it was just so normal to have that conversation in the moment. And then I thought later, like, holy crap, I just went in and turned off my bleeding. Like, how
That's so great.
And then you're indoctrinated into home birth midwifery, and then the journey begins, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, I love that. That's a great
story. I love that. Yeah. We all just, once, I also love what you said about, you know, I'm a doula. So as a doula, there are times that I'm having those same conversations where I'm like, have you considered a home birth? And a lot of couples are like, the woman's like, yeah, I've kind of wanted to. He's really nervous about it. We're going to do the hospital the first time. And I'm like, well, that's totally fine as an option if that's what you think. But I want you to be aware. I want you to look at it through a different lens, because I think you're next time around, you're going to want that home birth.
Yeah.
If you can't, because you said you had this switch in your energy and what, how she was talking to you and treating you. And there's such a massive shift in the energy.
Oh my gosh. I know. I was doing a virtual consult with someone last night she's pregnant and she's chosen the medical system. And, you know, I can definitely talk with those women and give them some counseling. But what stuck out to me, just because it's been a while since I've talked with anybody that's chosen that, is just like the negativity bias. Like, it's really incredible, right? She's at the end of her pregnancy. Everything's been fine. And now all of a sudden, this number doesn't match and that number doesn't match. And, you know, I said to her, it's a choice. Like, if you feel good in your body, you feel good with your baby, it's a choice to decide to focus on what feels great. Like, that's a choice. You can focus on what feels good and go from there, or you can look for something wrong. And that is the job of the medical system. They are there to look for something that's wrong. And, you know, once in a while they're right. Great. Good for them. But most of the time it's just seeking. It's seeking to find something to obsess over. And, you know, I think that is just important to like lay out there sometimes, because we do have a choice in that. We don't have to go along with it. And that was the shift I felt. I had been with nurse midwives at the hospital who were like all crazy about the glucose test and all this nonsense. I knew I was fine. I did not have gestational diabetes at all. And, you know, switching to this midwife that didn't mention, you know, all of the things that could go wrong. She was focused on all of the things that were going right. And I think that's really influenced me as a midwife to this day, for sure.
I think intuitively, though, I don't feel like I am predominantly an intuitive person. I think in midwifery, though, there is this intuition that midwives have when they're really connected to their clients. And that's why my midwife transferred me from a birth center, and it saved my daughter's life.
Yeah.
And it was that example of intuition. It's not even that, no, they're not looking for something wrong, but intuitively, it's amazing how spot on they are. I went 2.5 weeks over once, and my midwife was like, on Monday, when you hit 2.5 weeks, if you hadn't had the baby, we do need to transport. And I had her Sunday night. But, you know, I mean, like, there's so much, there's a patience and a calmness, a stillness in the being aware that there are things that can go wrong sometimes. And if and when that happens, there's a, they're very prepared and intuitive in that. And that's some, that's such a gift in the training and in birth work that I want to point out that I love. I mean, they're not looking for anything wrong, but man, if it happens, they're right there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we are, you know, we are trained to know the things. So
yeah,
that's definitely the difference, I think, with midwifery training, you know, is that hopefully, like, we are grounded and we are able to hold that space in love and trust. But, you know, there's definitely part of your brain that is thinking ahead and putting pieces together if need be. But I really, really trust the women I work with. And if I don't feel that way about somebody, then I won't work with them. You know, I really have to trust their own connection. Because as I say to women all the time, I can't know more than you do. It doesn't matter that I've had midwifery training. It doesn't matter how many births I've seen. At the end of the day, you are the connection to your baby and to yourself. And if you think something's off, I'm going to listen to that. And if you think everything is great and fine, and we trust each other, you know, then I'm going to listen to that.
I love that. You had, obviously, 8 more children after that second one. When did midwifery training for you, when was that calling felt? At what, where in the birth system, how many more did you have? When did you begin that? What did that look like?
It began right after that second birth. Yeah, I remember sitting in the rocking chair, you know, nursing my newborn with a stack of library books next to me about birth. Like, that's how quickly, like, I don't think I was even the one that went to the library. So that's how new I was postpartum. I was like completely just obsessed. And I ended up taking an intro to midwifery course by Carla Hartley, who's no longer alive. But she was hugely influential for me. And in this intro course, I had to interview a midwife. And I already knew my midwife. So I asked her if she knew anyone. And she, of course, had a midwife friend who was also an underground midwife. And I drove out to this woman's house in the suburbs of Chicago. And I just wanted to talk with her. I just wanted to ask her questions for my project. And in the middle of my project, she asks me if I want an apprenticeship, if I want to start working with her. And I didn't even know what an apprenticeship was. And I remember saying, like, I mean, you don't understand. Like, I don't know how to do any of this. I had been a musician my whole life. So I was like, honestly, I have no experience. I don't know how to take a blood pressure. I know nothing. And she was like, oh, that's fine. Like, that's how everyone starts. So I started a midwifery apprenticeship when he was only 4 months old. And I had a lot of different preceptors and moving around, but it took about 5 years. And so let's see, by the birth of my fourth, after his birth, that's when I got a license and I did the whole CPM credential, which I've since given back as well. But yeah, it kind of all happened in the span of like 2 babies. And then the rest of them, I have been a midwife myself, which, you know, is a different flavor and has meant like I've brought my own babies to births and appointments and all of that kind of stuff and been pregnant at births. But it's been great. It's been a great experience.
You just kind of continued living your own life while you were a midwife, which I think is normal in birth work to some degree. And people who, if I were hiring you, that wouldn't be a big deal to me. Right. Yeah. Like, your clients are just okay with your kids coming or you, all of that.
Well, I mean, mostly, yes. I think I was gifted seeing that as well in my apprenticeship. So my main preceptor, the woman who I just said offered me an apprenticeship, she had 3 at the time. She ended up having a 4th baby. It was very normal. Like, she'd be nursing a baby on her breast and catching a baby with the other hand. Like, I got to see that. I got to see how motherhood really fits with midwifery. And so I'm so grateful for that. You know, I have since, you know, I think there's boundaries for sure.
Yeah.
And in having my own students, like I do have boundaries because I have a different way of practicing, really. But I've been so grateful to the clients over the years that, yes, have invited my baby. I don't bring kids, but yeah, when I've had small children, small babies, like before they can move and crawl, it's always worked out. So it's not easy. You know, people ask about that a lot, especially new students or, you know, mothers that are going to be apprenticing, and it's not easy. And you know, if I had another baby, honestly, if I had another one, I would love the experience of not doing that. I would just take a year off, but I had never done that. And so for better or for worse, you know, I've been at births 3 days before I birthed. That's like the closest wow. I've ever come on the pregnancy end. And then postpartum, probably a month after. So I, you know, have had, well, I don't know. In some moments, I think I've like shortchanged myself and I wish I had taken more time. And really, I think the reality was that I was fine doing that and I was like ready to get back. So could look at it both ways.
Yeah. Well, I think there's pros and cons to everything. I had the same experience after my second birth. The midwives that I work with offered me an apprenticeship and I apprenticed with them off and on for 7 years, but never did my book work and never became a midwife. And I think looking, and I did that because I was taking time between babies and pregnancies and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And I retrospectively wish I had done it more the way you did.
Oh, funny. The grass is always greener, right?
Well, I remember going through it and just, yeah. I think I was dragging it out for so long. It was easy to not do the book work, to not
sure.
do it.
Sure.
And there's pros and cons, I think, to every way you do it.
Right.
At what point you were the CPM, and I've looked into all of this. I mean, we don't have to go into NARM and all of that stuff. Unless you're in birth work, you don't even like you wouldn't know what that was. But there's either going through the U.S. overarching council, I guess, or whatever organization that approves midwives, and then just doing it on your own. And again, pros and cons, especially because you became a CPM, and then where in that did Indy happen, and where in that did you decide you wanted to give up that license?
Right. So there was the Arizona license and the CPM, and they're kind of separate things, right? Because the CPM, for those that don't know, is just a certification. But that certification is also being used to get a license in a lot of states, if that's not too confusing. So at the time, they were kind of separate. But Indy Birth really started before I was a midwife at all. It started when I was a student. I really just needed like a creative outlet. So it was a print magazine back in the day.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a print magazine. And then it moved to an online site that was really just like natural birth stories. And then it wasn't until I really started going through this legal battle with the state of Arizona that it became what it is today. And I think, again, I'm so grateful for that experience because I learned so much about midwifery. I learned so much about the politics, which I don't love that word, but it's like there is so much behind birth nowadays. There is so much behind midwifery. Midwifery isn't like this beautiful ancient profession anymore. It's become professionalized. It's become legalized. It's really become medicalized. And that's what I learned, that I was facilitating this medical version of midwifery, which in my heart, I never believed. That wasn't my experience as a mother. You know, I've never had ultrasounds and such other than my first birth. Like, I prefer for myself just to let my body do what it needs to do. And as a midwife, you know, obviously I support that and people's choice and their sovereignty. And so when I realized that it is really hard to be a sovereign, autonomous woman birthing with a licensed midwife, and I still to this day stand to that, doesn't mean midwives aren't beautiful and kind and all of that, but if they are answering to the government, it really limits what women can do and what they can be in their birth. So I learned all of that through this legal battle. And then kind of out the other side came this version of indie birth, this like radical autonomous, like, we don't care where you birth. We actually don't care at all. But what we do care about is that you have ability to do the inner work to get yourself to a place where your decision-making feels really aligned for you. It doesn't feel like anyone else is telling you or forcing you or pressuring you, that no matter what you choose, you feel really great about because it's aligned with your truth. And, you know, the Indie Birth Midwifery School has come out of that. We have a doula program and all of our trainings are really based on that, that, you know, autonomy as the midwife and as the woman is really important. And like, that is the future.
I love what you're doing and what a change. And when I went back, I took a break from birth work in 2007 and then went back to it. And when I did, I thought, I'm going to pick up where I left off and finally do my midwifery stuff. And yeah. I'm in Nevada and right. We don't have any regulations. And then there's NARM.
I hope it stays that way. Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I'm two sides of that. That's such a big conversation.
Yeah.
I think if there are regulations, they need to be run by midwives, period, so that you don't met, because NARM is not, when I looked into it, I was like, that is absolutely not the direction I want to go. But nothing made me uncomfortable too. So I went the doula route, but your course was what I was going to take. And another doula here locally took your midwifery course too. And you were the training that I wanted. But I was afraid of going down that route.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that, yeah, it is political. It's very political.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. And there is a lot of fear. And I think, you know, we could talk for hours about all of that too.
Yeah.
Like the persecution and the way, you know, midwifery has developed over the centuries, really. But I think, you know, just speaking for a moment to like the legalization and like, oh, but we'd want it this way, I'll tell you, it's a very, very slippery slope. So that's where I'm like, I hope Nevada stays clear. I know that it's, you know, nothing is always perfect. There are always people that are going to not have integrity no matter what system we're in. And I see that, you know, and I think that's a whole separate topic. But like here in Hawaii, they introduced licensing a couple of years ago and it's always with the same intentions, you know, which is what you're saying. It's like, oh, we have these intentions of making it better or more accessible. And the truth is once the law gets established, then, you know, it's like the talons come out from all the forces that be, and it's not quite what anybody wanted or what anybody thought would happen. So just learning from history is super important. Yeah.
I totally agree. And, you know, I love the point that you made that you were looking at this thinking like you weren't doing these medicalized, you weren't a midwife that was in that system. I wasn't either. I wasn't training and I wasn't having my own births in that system at all.
Yeah.
And it was a beautiful thing. And so, we could go hours. Tell me, I love the indie birth. I could talk to hours for you no matter what, but the indie birth made this transition. At some point, you also, Margot came into the picture. Was that from the beginning or did she join at some point in there?
So Margot was my very first student. She began her apprenticeship literally months before this whole thing with the state of Arizona started. So she was a great support. You know, she was obviously new and didn't know a lot, but she actually politically was very aligned, which again, I was so grateful for because there were a lot of women that would have been like, I'm out, you know, I don't know what you're doing, but I don't want to be a part of it.
Right.
That wasn't her. And obviously we just grew together like as best friends. We attended each other's births and here we are 15 years later. It's hard to believe we've been friends that long. And you know, like our lives have changed and all of that, but I think we are still so much on the same page and we really balance each other again with this sovereignty and autonomy that's the most important thing to us.
You had the lawsuit, which I don't really know much about.
No, it was just an administrative case. It wasn't a lawsuit.
Okay.
It wasn't criminal. Yeah, it was just the state saying you're not supposed to attend births like that. So what are we going to do with you?
What ended up being, you continued to practice for 10 more years. So what ended up happening?
Yeah. Well, the legal battle went on for 2 years. I spent a lot of money I didn't have. And then at the end of it, like I said, I was like, actually, I had had a free birth myself. My sixth baby was born and I came out of his birth like, actually, I don't want this at all. Like, I'm just done with them. And so I sent them a letter and it's on the internet somewhere called a letter about caring about birthing rights or something. I mean, you could Google it, but I sent it to them and I basically said, like, I'm done with you. Here's my license. I don't want it anymore. Women don't actually care about that. And you're just trying to control everybody. So good luck. And thank you for the last 2 years. And then long story short, again, I discovered the idea of a private membership association or a PMA. And I've been working under that model for the last 12 years in different places. Okay. So Kentucky and now here in Hawaii.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I want you to talk to me about what does it mean? You say you work freely as a spiritual birth guide. Mm-hmm. That's under the PMA. I didn't understand that that's what it was when I was reading it. So I guess, what does that mean exactly?
Yeah, it's kind of a couple things. So working under a private membership association, to put it really simply, means that you're not part of the public law. So the public laws that apply to midwives, like say in Arizona, they didn't apply to me because I didn't have a license and I was contracting with individuals that would, you know, seek this out. Actually, this has never been a hidden thing. I had women all the time in Sedona, you know, come because I wasn't licensed and because they didn't want to be, you know, they didn't want to be in that system. So, you know, I called myself a midwife for many years up until probably even last year. And I just started to have a lot of personal shifts and changes. I had a birth experience, not my own, but as a midwife about a year ago, actually, that was really life changing. And since then, I've just been reevaluating. Not the political side of this word midwife. Like I called myself that and I didn't, it fit at the time, but it just really doesn't fit anymore. I think unfortunately midwife has come to mean, you know, somebody that is part of the system and someone that you hire and then you get the birth you want, like as if we're doctors, as if we're, you know, closer to God or something. And that is not the truth. You know, I want to work with women that want this relationship, that want my experience and my support, but I am not in charge of their experience. I don't know what will happen. you know, I'm not a medical provider. And really at this point in life, I'm just more interested in the spiritual journey. I'm more interested in what's going on inside of their bodies, you know, with their emotions and what they're feeling and their history and their trauma, that, you know, I don't consider myself a midwife in the same way that many people do. And I gave the CPM back a couple of years ago because that really just didn't align with me anymore.
It's so fascinating hearing the perspective. You know, if I had had this conversation with you a few years ago when I got back into things, I probably would have been like, yes, I'm on the bandwagon. Let's go.
Yeah.
Where at the time I felt kind of isolated and alone and trying to figure out how to do it in a community that didn't feel super welcoming and kind of being afraid of going down that path. So I have loved following you the amount that I have, because it's inspiring. And so I want to say, from a birth worker perspective, you inspire many. But I love the way you put this. Take me through, you had four more kids. So I kind of want to end on, you eventually moved to Hawaii. Indie birth is still indie birth. You still do the doula courses and the midwifery courses. Mm-hmm. You guys still work together. What do things look like now? And like, I've seen your birth pictures because I followed you for so many years. So mm-hmm. What do things look like now for you? Are there more kids in your future? And I know you said you're practicing in Hawaii under doing the PMA. So what are things, catch me up to speed on
right,
that.
Catch you up. Yeah, well, after many years in Sedona as the community midwife, I mean, I was really the only midwife there, we moved to Kentucky, which was crazy. So the last couple of years we had been there, and that was a really interesting place. I feel like I was needed, you know, I was definitely called there, and I wasn't necessarily welcome, as the case is always, or a lot of the time, I think, when people come in and they just are more of like a trailblazer energy and not really wanting to conform. So the midwives in Kentucky had just gotten licensing. So this seems to be a pattern for me. I wind up in places where licensing is new and I just say, I don't care. I'm not doing that. And it makes the midwives mad, but, I don't care about that. That's fine. They still are allowed to do what they would like to do in the ways that they do it. And I met some really awesome women. We trained a lot of doulas in that area. We have a lot of midwifery school students in that area. I went to a lot of amazing births. So it was a couple cool years where I think I helped shift the culture there a little bit. And then, like I said, I was kind of called here to Hawaii, and we don't know for how long we're here. I'm not really working as a midwife. I've been to one birth, and that felt just like really, really organic and natural. But I'm not like hanging a shingle and trying to get clients here. I don't really want to be on call anymore, or at least at the moment. Life is just too beautiful here. I don't want to get up in the middle of the night. And I've really gotten into like somatic work. I am getting trained as a somatic experiencing practitioner. And so I'm doing more of that these days in circles with birth workers. So I'm really excited about taking birth workers, midwives, and doulas through some trauma work and through somatic experiencing as I learn it, because I see that this world we're in is really damaging. It's really damaging to the body and to the soul, as beautiful as birth work is. Mm-hmm. And that's the reality of the lifestyle. And after 15 years, I just kind of hit a wall of like, oh, wow, I need to do something differently. So I feel like I'm kind of on a sabbatical in a sense, like I'm working and I'm doing lots of new things and trying new things, but I don't quite feel the pull yet. You know, I got an inquiry yesterday, actually. It's one of the first ones I've had. I'm kind of like hiding here. It feels like, you know, just someone saying I'm 8 weeks pregnant and I got your name. And I'm like, oh, like, I don't even know what to say to this woman. Like, I just, yeah, I don't want to be anyone's everything anymore. So if there's a way to support women that want like mentoring or kind of like spiritual counseling around pregnancy, I feel like I can hold that space. But yeah, there's still something that's feeling tricky about figuring it all out, you know, like I'm definitely in another growth phase of figuring it out for myself.
I think the somatic healing is actually a direct correlation. I can see why you're so drawn to that, for sure. And just how you've worked with women for all these years, whether you're mentoring or training or working in the midwifery space, like that, you're feeling and seeing a lot of the trauma that's coming.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I say it all the time. Like now I'm completely obsessed with this. Like I still love birth, of course, but you know, like in a textbook way, you know, like I've learned a lot about birth. I have a lot of experience. There's always more to learn, but of course there's other areas in life, right? Like that can really enrich our lives and maybe our birth work. And so that's somatic experiencing for me. I kind of fell into it after, as I was saying, I had this last birth a year ago that was like really life-changing. And that's what kind of pushed me into it. Cause I was like, I am not okay. Like I am not okay. This is, my body is not okay. Like, you know, I am traumatized. I am traumatized from being at this birth. So, you know, I've been working myself out of that for the last year and realizing again, like in the birth world, how much this is needed, how much we're not embodied and we're not feeling. And if we're not doing that, then how can we teach women? And birth is like the most somatic experience you can have. Mm-hmm. So it's like all of the pieces feel like they're fitting together for me in a in a way that makes more sense for me to A, teach and share with the world, which I love to do, and then B, I'm sure eventually go back to birth in a different way, mm-hmm. like kind of as a different person almost, you know?
I do know, and I love that. I think that it's really great to bring that up. You know, there's a burnout rate with midwives and doulas that people don't talk about that shouldn't exist. I feel like if we were supported in our roles within birth work, we wouldn't hit that point. But there's a lot that needs to happen for us, and recognizing it and then working through our own stuff based on the work that we're doing, that's rarely addressed. So I'm ecstatic that this is kind of a new fit. Let me know when the course is out. I'm super ecstatic about it.
Actually, I have one that starts on Sunday, but otherwise, you know, I will continue to, you know, keep teaching it, and I'm learning mm-hmm. so much. So it's like every version I'm putting out there is reflective of like where I am in my own training and my own life. But yeah, I think it's just something that isn't talked about a lot. And, you know, mm-hmm. I'm a very honest person, as you probably know from my podcasts, like I can have a midwifery school where I am actively, you know, creating more radical midwives around the world. And at the same time, be like, you guys, like, we've got to make this better. Like, I don't want for you. I don't want that for anybody else. Like, we have got to find a way to make midwifery more sustainable. And it starts on the inside. It really does. It mm-hmm. starts with taking care of ourselves in different ways and addressing our own issues and our own traumas. And I've known that. I've been doing that. I've been teaching that. But again, this feels like a new level of, like, you know, connecting with that felt sensation. And I think for the people that are ready for that, it's already helping them so much, because they realize that, you know, so much of life and so much of birth work doesn't happen in the head, really. It's happening in the body. So having more tools to be with that, I think, can only help. And like you said, burnout, people, you know, being scared even, or difficult births happening, like, it's all kind of part of the landscape of what we do. So I think just mm-hmm. having more tools, to be with that. And then, you know, we can keep following our hearts at the same time.
Do you have so you're actually doing the somatic work? You're taking clients for that now?
Yeah, I am. Okay. I just do, like, I call them body wisdom sessions. So they're just online sessions, and, you know, they're 45 minutes, and it just allows especially women to have a little bit of space, have a little bit of time to connect with themselves. And, you know, one of the tenets of somatic experiencing that I really love is having another nervous system, having another co-regulator, like having another woman, even on Zoom, hold space for you, really is part of healing sometimes, right? Like, we can't do the work for other people, but some of this somatic work, it is kind of difficult to do alone. You know, I always say it's like scratching your own back. Like, it's just a little bit awkward. So yeah, I've been holding space in that way. And like I said, I can see I'm bringing that work directly into prenatals. And I have been doing that as well, where it's like, oh, you want to talk about, you know, do I want a 20-week ultrasound? Okay, we can talk about it. But what if, like, we went into your body? Like, would you be up for that? Like, let's see what your body is saying about that. And it's proved, like, as I expected, so much more fruitful. So much more wisdom these women are able to access than, you know, a 20-minute conversation about the benefits and risks of ultrasound. So
yeah,
I'm
absolutely.
Really loving it. I'm really loving it.
I love that. I'm reflecting back to see, like, in what way. I know that the midwifery practice I work with did that in their own way, maybe not as directly, because there were two incidences that in 5 pregnancies that I ended up going in for an ultrasound, and it was something I felt really good about, where mm-hmm. normally I would not have done that, but in these instances I did, for different reasons. And so that's the same thing you're saying. I love that you're doing that. We're going to wrap up. Are there any more kids coming?
Not at the moment. I would love to have another baby. I would love to have a baby in Hawaii. It totally is a dream. But yeah, I guess we'll see what spirit has for us
All right, to be continued. Maren, thank you so much for being on today. I appreciate you so much.
Oh, thank you, Jennifer. This has been really fun. Thanks for inviting me.